I certainly would be remiss if I did not express my appreciation for being invited to come and speak with you today. I was sitting here thinking about something, though, prior to what I want to share with you, the different perspective that we have to share here. You're looking at life that is ahead of you, and I'm looking for life that is behind me. Now, I'm not ready to check it in, but there's two different perspectives here, and so I hope maybe having hit some bumps, hit some good times, some bad times, maybe I can share something, a little something with you this morning that will help you. I've always been a late bloomer. I don't know why. I guess that's the way I did it. At 35, after having graduated from North Texas State University, at 35, I was director of purchasing for a major division of Gillette. I traveled internationally. The job afforded my wife and I the American dream. We had the home. We had the toys. We had the good life. We had it made, the 401 and all of that, and yet in my heart, I knew there was something I was supposed to be doing that I was not doing. Lightning never struck the ground next to me as it did with Luther. I never heard a voice, you know, in a little small cloud, but I knew I was supposed to be preaching. And so at 35, with the blessing of my wife, and by the way, that's the greatest blessing I've had. I've had her for 50 and a half years. We celebrate our 50th anniversary. I know, I look young, she looks older, but, you know, okay. But at 35, we divested ourselves of basically everything we owned. I went back to seminary, got a degree, and went into the ministry at 38. Went to Washington, established a church, worked there for a number of years, and then came back to Texas and preached in several congregations throughout Texas. You ready for this? In the Church of Christ, a cappella. Okay, wow. What am I doing here? God opened my eyes one day. No, in 2000, I became minister of Santa Fe Christian Church and spent 12 years in the Independent Christian Church. And looking forward and looking at things and realizing this young man who we really reared wanted to come to Dallas Christian, and I wanted him to go there. How many of you here are studying to go into the ministry? Let me tell you something. You ain't going to make much money, okay? And so realizing it was going to take money to send him to school, I prayed about it for some time, and I was able to reach peace with myself that I didn't have to preach the gospel to get through the gates of heaven. That was sincerely a struggle, to be quite honest with you, it was. And so I went back, thanks to the grace of the internet, prepared myself for another career. I am now a licensed professional safety engineer. And at the age of 70, when most people are rocking on the front porch, I started a new career. I work for Chevron Oil and Gas and enjoy it very much. But let me tell you, if you want a cultural shock, you try being a minister for 27 years, preach a sermon on Sunday morning, and on Tuesday morning find yourself in the state of Pennsylvania standing on an oil rig with 15 roughnecks. That is a change. But God has blessed me in a lot of wonderful ways. And I think what I want to just say with all that, don't ever be afraid. As long as it's in the grace of God, don't be ever be afraid to take a chance. Don't be ever be afraid to step out there and maybe try to accomplish something new and different. And I enjoy very much what I do today. I enjoy greatly working with these guys. I don't think I'll probably ever convert them, but maybe I'll have a little impact upon them as we go along. The world that I grew up in is so vastly different from the world that you now live in that it would be almost impossible to explain it to you. It was definitely before the age of Google. It was definitely before the age, or at least the cutting age, of television. I think I was 13, 14 when my parents bought a television. And so I grew up on a farm about 50 miles northwest of here. And for the first 18 years of my life, my world consisted of the farm, the extended family, the small school to which I went for 12 years. Small. Yes, there were 13 people in my graduating class, and 12 of us started to the first grade together. There was an outsider. She came along in the third grade. Okay. And then the small conservative church in which I was reared. All of it within a 3-mile circumference. That was my world. That's what influenced me. That's what I saw. That's what I knew. And so what lay beyond there was somewhat of a mystery. I mean, as amazing as it may sound, Denton was only 12 miles away, but that was a major journey. And to go to Dallas or Fort Worth, oh my goodness, that was a whole new world. But there was something. There was a Google of my age. There was something that opened up the world. There was something that let me see what might be out there, what might could be had, what might could be accomplished if I wanted to strive for it. And it was something called the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Now, I want to ask you how many of you knew that Sears had two names. They do, Sears and Roebuck. Now, will I ask you how many of you have ever seen a Sears and Roebuck catalog? They were about 3 inches thick, and inside them was everything. Oh, my goodness. You could just lay there and turn the pages and see amazing things that you could acquire that certainly were not on a farm. And as I looked at these throughout the years, probably around 10 or 12, there was something that caught my eye, something that caught my attention. There was a choice that had to be made if you were going to buy something. And that choice was good, better, best. Good, better, best. Well, I wanted the best. I didn't want the good. Didn't want the better. I wanted the best. How many of you here would like to have the best? Yeah, that's our nature. We want the best. And I said, that's what I want. But then I looked and I realized, oh, it costs more than the better or the good. So that if I wanted the best, then I was going to have to work harder. I was going to have to save my money. I was going to have to pay for it. And somewhere along the road, at an early age in my life, that made a transformation to my entire thought pattern. And I realized if I wanted to be the best at whatever I was going to do, I was going to have to work for it. Because I was not born brilliant. I am now. And so I realized that I was going to have to put effort into this. And whether it was going to be in my work in high school, or whether it was going to be in college, or whether it was going to be as a spouse or as a parent, I had a decision to make. I could decide that I was going to be good, I was going to be better, or I was going to be the best. Now, for many people, being good is absolutely fine. My father was an elder in the church. He was a wonderful man, but he was just a farmer. He'd lived through the Depression, and I guarantee you, if you had talked to him about buying something, let's say a suit, anything beyond the good, he would have thought you were crazy. Why spend that extra money, son? That good is perfectly good. Yeah. I'm talking about a man. Now, this is the way life has changed. I'm talking about a man, and this was typical of people his age, who had one suit, two white shirts, one pair of dress shoes, multiplicity of ties, because that's what he got for Father's Day. And if I were to ask him, Dad, why don't you have two suits? Do you know what he would have said? Anybody got a guess? How many can you wear at a time, son? I was looking the other day. I think there are 6 suits in my closet. I used to have a lot of ties before my grandson went off to college. I would be embarrassed to tell you how many shoes I have because I like shoes. The world has changed considerably since that time. And so I had to begin to make some decisions, and you have to make some decisions. And let me tell you something. I don't think, in my observation of 70 years, is that this isn't really something you kind of bounce in and out of. You don't say, okay, I'm going to be good at this. Or I'm going to be best at this. Well, I'll just go better here. I'll do good over here. No, I think a pattern begins to develop at an early age. It's probably developed for you right now to a large degree, but it's something that can be changed. That you've begun to decide where you're going to be in life. You're going to be good. I guess there's nothing wrong with good. It might be interesting, though, if Dallas Christian would stamp on their diplomas good, better, best. You ever thought about that? Because, you see, I think that if you just do good, you just study enough to get through and pass the classes and make a C on the papers you write and you graduate, I believe that diploma that you will hang up there probably will look almost exactly like the one who is the best, right? And I know this can vary in some professions, but let me tell you a little secret. I've never had an employer ask me what my grade point average was. Never have. I've never interviewed with a church and have them say, well, Brother Tom, we believe that you are the man God is calling for this work. But we need to know before we make this very, very important decision that's going to have a major impact on this church and a major impact perhaps on this community, we need to know what was your grade in Greek? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Okay? I've never had an eldership ask me that. And so, yes, you can be good. You can slide through and you can graduate and you can get the degree and you can go out into the world and you can be a good employee and you can be a good spouse and you can be a good father, but you're going to cheat yourself big time. And it starts right now. It starts with deciding, what am I going to put into this education? Am I going to get the very best education I can possibly get? Or am I going to be satisfied with just getting through? When I do that term paper, am I going to do all the research? Am I going to really look into it? Am I going to write the very best paper I could write and gain all the information I could possibly gain on that subject that might be beneficial to me on down the road someplace? Or am I going to just kind of slide through? As you become an employee and you go to work, you got a decision to make. Are you going to be the very best employee you can be? Or are you going to be maybe a little bit better than somebody else? Or you're just going to be good, just kind of float along. I've accomplished a number of amazing things in my life, and I believe I've accomplished them because I was never satisfied with being anything better than the best I could possibly be. With every church that I've ever ministered at, I can look back and I can say with clear conscience, I did the very best I could do. Was there somebody that could do better than me? Oh, you bet there was. Was there somebody that was a better public speaker? Oh, yeah, just to ask them. I'm famous for my Texicans. Yeah, getting my little words kind of tangled up and twisted and coming out the wrong way. Are there ministers out there who have a greater understanding of the depths of the Scripture? You bet there are. But I did the very best I could do. And that's what I want to encourage you this morning to start thinking about. Not measuring yourself against someone else, because there's always going to be someone better. And you can always find somebody worse. It'll make you feel better about yourself, okay? Don't measure yourself against anybody else, but measure yourself against yourself. Am I giving it all I can give? Am I doing the very best I can do? Am I achieving everything that I can achieve, or am I just floating through life? Because I promise you, listen to the old man, I promise you, that you're beginning to establish a pattern in your life right now that will follow you through with every single thing you do. Everything. Is it a biblical thought to say, you know, hey, I think as a Christian that I should do the very best I could possibly do? Well, let me ask you. Can you imagine Noah saying, oh, son, don't worry about it. I can tell it doesn't fit quite right, but if it leaks, we'll do something about it later on. Just we got to get this thing built. Come on. Can you imagine him doing that? What about Moses when he was overseeing the construction of the tabernacle? He said, oh, hey, guys, it's around back. It's up high. Nobody's going to notice that. Just come on, let's get this thing finished so we can praise God. No, I don't think so. Who would have made the most perfect tent you can possibly think of? If you wanted the greatest tent you could have, who would you have bought it from in the first century? Paul. Because you see, as he was sitting there in the marketplace sewing away, I can't believe he would have ever said, oh, it won't matter. Well, maybe this material is not as good as I could have had. But I think if you bought a tent from that guy, you would have bought the best tent that man could make. The stitching would have been perfect. The material top grade. And I know my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave me the very best. And I owe him the very best. Will good work? Yeah, it would. Because you see, I'm probably wearing a good suit. Came from JCPenney's. Penney. Yes, I buy my clothes at JCPenney. It didn't come from Dillard's. It didn't come from someplace else. This is probably good. And it meets the need, doesn't it? But it's not a suit of clothes that you need to be worried about. It's what you are as a student. It's what you are as a husband. And you know what? Just ask her. I have been the very best husband she could possibly have had. Mm-hmm. Would you like to stand and testify? Yeah. Oh, I'm thankful she didn't stand up. But I tried. I failed. I look back and I think, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. But I'm still trying. And at, I said, 70, I went to work for Chevron Oil and Gas as a safety engineer. Worked in Pennsylvania for a year, and then they needed somebody that they felt they could trust, that they felt could fill a particular position. They transferred me to Midland. That says something, doesn't it? It said I was doing the very best I could possibly do. So I think if there's anything I'd like to talk to you about this morning and encourage you is to stop and give that a little bit of thought. Because I tell you, we're looking from two different perspectives. Many of you have your life planned out. You know what you're going to do. I did. I started at North Texas, I think it was called college then or something. It was something different. I was going to be a teacher. Why was I going to be a teacher? Anybody got a guess? Think about the sphere of my influence. Farming, school, preaching. I didn't want to be a preacher, I thought. I knew I didn't want to be a farmer. And the only other thing I knew was teachers. So I started out, I was going to be a teacher. I was going to be a secondary high school teacher. That didn't work out. I ended up with a degree in applied science. Then I went to work for this little company called Texas Instruments. Anybody ever heard of it? In its glory day. And then I went to work for this little company called Liquid Paper. You never heard of that. In its heyday. And then for a division of Gillette. And then into the ministry. And then into the oil patch. If I could ever have imagined a career such as that, I think I would have thought I was crazy. Such diversity there. But I do know that as long as I am living in the will of God, whatever I am doing is okay. And I do know also that I can look back at my life and all the various changes that I've made and the things that have happened to me, and I can only identify one time. There was one time in my career as a ministry that I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that God moved the pieces, He shuffled things around, and He put me there. I knew it. I could feel it. But that is the only time in my life when I can ever say, I know God put me there. I know God directed me there. But my faith tells me He was always in my life. And He was always guiding me. And no matter what it is you may choose to do, no matter what your path may be, no matter what you have planned out, I guarantee you it will change. You will go different perhaps than what you thought you were going to be going. But the thing I want to encourage you most is to stop and think, am I going to be good? Am I going to be better? Or am I going to be the very best? Go for the best. And I guarantee you, 50 years from now, when you look back, you'll be happy for the choices you made. May we pray. Father, there are young people here who are dedicating their life to you. And Father, I ask that your hand will be upon them, that you'll protect them, that you'll guide them.